Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Spin the Rally Pod. We're here at Dirtfish Rally School. This is Michelle Miller. I'm a senior instructor here and a co-driver. And I'm really excited to have four of my coworkers here with me today. We're going to talk all about women at Dirtfish, the Women in Motorsports Summit, and some cool behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on here. So we've got, I'll let you introduce yourselves. Go for it.
I'm Kendra Miller. I'm an instructor here at Dirtfish and also a co-driver and navigator.
I'm Tasha Krug. I am an instructor in training here, and I gave thrill rides during Women in Motorsports Summit.
My name is Kelly Clausen-Walters. I am a guest services coordinator, and I got to spend the day before the summit with the panelists, and that was pretty amazing and very special.
And my name is Xander Lozano. I am also a guest services coordinator as well as an HR coordinator, and I was also lucky enough to spend some time with the panelists.
Excellent. Well, let's get right to it, huh? Let's talk a little bit about how we prepared for all of this exciting stuff with our panelists being here. I don't know, there's just so much going on the week before the summit and the months before the summit, to be honest. It felt like it started the day after the one ended in 2022, yes. Or 23. Oh my goodness, it's 24. But one of the highlights for me was obviously getting to spend time with the panelists, but was also getting to do thrill rides. They were so much fun. We take some of, people pay for them and they hop in the passenger seat and we take them around a really exciting course that we set up here on the property. And Kendra, Tasha and I actually got to do a little B-roll beforehand. So let's talk about how that went, what it was like having our videographer sitting in the passenger seat with their giant equipment trying to film while we went. How was that for everybody?
The day as a whole was like super fun. It was nice to just kind of get out and relax and play a little bit and not necessarily have it be a super structured training perfection type of activity. The camera equipment, kind of once you got driving, you kind of forgot they were over there.
All I know is Georgia tried to distract me multiple times by saying, "Oh, look how gorgeous the mountain is right now." Georgia, I'm a little busy.
She sounds like me. Yeah. One of the best things about Rally is you get to go explore woods in random places across the world and see the beautiful scenery that's out there. And I'll admit a few times, mostly on recce, generally not when we're in the middle of the race, I will comment on, look at the mountain, mm-hmm. or look at that beautiful drop off the side of the road, which I know when Josie and I did recce together, she was not quite a fan of that. She was like, "I want to look at the road, Michelle. Don't show me what's over there." But speaking of Josie, she's not with us today. But Josie Remmer coordinated the whole entire summit for us this year and the last three, and she's been integral in bringing women in motorsport to the forefront, especially here at Dirtfish. If you've been checking out our website, you've seen a ton of women-focused content. The last few podcasts, take a listen if you haven't. They've been great with some really special guests on there. And then just the amount of work and coordination it takes to get race car drivers to all come together on one weekend when we're all very busy. We all have really different schedules. It's hard to pin us down because we're busy, busy, busy. But she got some of the best names in the business, I personally think, here to share their stories and to make connections and to inspire and empower both us and the next generation of women in motorsport and to just make the sport feel a little bit more accessible. Kelly and Xander, you had a pretty special day with them. On the day before the summit, we decided to give our panelists a little taste of the Pacific Northwest, and we took them down to Pike Place Market, which if you've seen videos of Seattle, you've seen the fish flying in the air and things like that, and they got to go down there and spend some time with them. How was that? What was your highlight of being with the panelist kind of away from a driving arena?
Yeah. I would say it was really fun to kind of just hang out with them, but also kind of see them interacting with each other and kind of see their different personalities, and also kind of their different experiences in motorsport, because it was really interesting, because it was almost enlightening for them to kind of talk to each other and share, you know, their personal experiences. But also it was kind of fun to take them around, do a little bit of touristing, and also see how they all kind of have their different reactions to those touristy spots. I would say everyone kind of had like certain things that they preferred over other things. I think the fish market was pretty popular among everyone. Not everyone loved the gum wall.
I would say,
oh, it's so gross.
But, you know, it was one of those things.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, so. It's there. We went. We saw it. So. Yeah,
it's definitely one of those places I feel like you have to check out when you are a tourist in Seattle. So it was fun getting to share those locations with them, and kind of like Kelly saying, just getting to know them on like a more personal level was really special. I will say though, I was so dang nervous driving there because such precious cargo, like can't crash, don't crash, like everything's fine. But it was just so much fun. And it was really nice just getting to hang out with them.
But on that note, like they're top level drivers, right? Like they're top of their sport. Yeah. And you're like, they're judging me.
Yeah. They're like, I would hit that a little different.
The funny thing though is they're not, right?
Yeah, no,
of anyone out there, I mean, they've all been horrible drivers at one point in their life, I'm sure, right? Yeah. We were all new at this once. And I stalled the car with Pernilla and Beth. I was so embarrassed. And Georgia, yeah. But they just brushed it off like it was nothing. Pernilla was actually shifting for me because I daily drive an automatic car, and I'm just not used to driving a manual on the street. Yeah, if you check out the Dirtfish social, you can see some of the panelist reactions on there on some of the reels that our media team put together. And I have to say, Beck's face when she saw the gum wall was pretty phenomenal. Yeah, it was pretty great.
And I loved Kelly's comment about like, oh, it's breathing, because that's really how it feels. Like the wall feels like it has
life.
Yes, yeah, and it shouldn't. It's very disturbing.
One of the other cool things at the market was one of our panelists got to catch a fish.
Yep.
So
she was not expecting the fish juice.
We had one of their employees there actually come through Dirtfish and take a 3-day program, and he loved the school so much he sent us a care package of stuff from the market. And so we contacted him before and said, hey, we're coming down with this really cool group of women, and they allowed us a little space to one of their guys threw a fish in the air, and Vanessa Ruck was a trooper. I tried to get everyone else to do it, and they were like, this looks really disgusting. But yeah, she caught that fish like a pro.
Yeah, she did.
I don't know how that thing didn't slide through her hands, but that was really fun. I think it might have been the highlight of her weekend. I'm not sure.
She was very excited about it.
Yeah, she had quite a bit to say about that. Yeah, so the day of the panel, wow. I don't even remember. What a whirlwind, huh?
It was a blur.
Yeah. Kendra and Tasha, what did your day look like?
We started off, we got here at about 7 in the morning that morning and wrangled golf carts.
Yep, that was the first task of the day for shuttling people from the lower part of the parking up to the building for all the summit activities. So we had to station golf carts throughout the property.
Puddles were splashed.
Yes. Puddles were splashed.
Drifting was not done because we were behaving.
We were behaving.
Good job.
We behaved in the golf carts. No open throttle.
No open throttle. No.
And then we did a lot of just prep throughout the day, basically whatever Josie or the team needed. And then we were behind the scenes during the panel.
Yeah.
So a lot of the live website.
Moderating comments, you know, letting everybody know when the audio went down. Sorry.
Tell us a little bit more about that. I didn't even know you were doing that. So what did that look like?
It was fun. It was nice because I still got to see the panels and I got to watch all the interactions. It was neat to listen to sort of the crew talk about, like, move the camera here, move the camera there.
Camera two.
Yeah, it really felt like you're on something really special and very important from that standpoint. It was nice that I didn't actually have to moderate the comments. Like, everybody was pretty pleased to be there.
Were there any standout comments? Anyone say anything that particularly resonated with you?
Everybody loved Bex. Uh-huh. Everybody loved Bex. They were so, like, a lot of people, I think, who joined the stream didn't really know who everyone was or where they were coming from. So it was neat to see their comments about, like, who is this person? I need to go find out who they are. And then Pernilla, everyone wants to be part of Pernilla's family.
Yeah, everyone wants to be a Solberg.
They just think that that whole family is just a class act.
Yeah, Bex, you know, I've been listening to Bex for a really long time because she's been the voice of Rally for, well, I mean, she's only 27, so I guess not that long. But it's so neat to just, when you listen to her, you can visualize her energy through her voice, and her person is exactly what you visualize when you hear her on the WRC. So it was really cool to see her.
Well, I know when she had first arrived to Dirtfish, I guess, for the activities the day before the summit, I was doing my cubicle job from Dirtfish with all the other prep going on. And I hear Bex's voice carrying through the halls. And I'm like, is this a recap of something? Would she say this on air or would she say this in a, like, personal setting? And I was like, yeah, that would be something online. And then as soon as it, like, was something that I knew she would only say here about something specific for, like, the summit or something, I was like, oh my God, I have to get out of this room right now. But very, very entertaining to talk with her about a whole breadth of subjects and not just WRC, but she is a classic.
She's brilliant. Love her.
Kelly and Xander, you, I know, had an insane day. You were both, like, managing all of our vendors and our special guests and our local businesses that came in. Did you even get to see the panels?
We were able to catch a bit of it, although during the panels, that was kind of our recoup time. So we were grabbing our food and checking in on vendors, making sure they were all set. But we were able to throw the live stream on and have that going in the background. So even being on site, I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity to do the live streams because it reaches so many more people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we can still catch that live stream. So if anyone out there is curious about the stories our panelists had to tell, getting to know them better, hearing and seeing Bex in a space outside of rally cars, definitely check that out. You can find that on our YouTube channel, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Kelly, what about you? Did you get to experience anything besides interacting with, I don't know, how many people were here? 600, 700, 800, something like that?
Yeah. You know, so same, Xander and I were pretty much, you know, holding down the fort. So definitely glad that we were able to watch some of that live stream while we were doing that. But it was also really amazing to kind of see, you know, all the people that came were so happy to be here, and just, you could tell they just felt the magic, you know, of, like, having all these women in one place. And I would say something that I thought was kind of special was when we were behind the desk and, you know, we're ringing people up, people are buying merchandise, we're talking to vendors, things like that. And the panelists come through to, you know, take a little break between the panels. Mm-hmm. And just watching the way that the people that were standing at the desk were just watching these women walk by and then seeing their faces after, they were just in awe and they looked at us and were like, I cannot believe they're here.
Yeah, so many broken necks. Yeah. We're used to seeing that with cars. Yeah. There was people breaking their necks over these incredible women.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So I feel like that was really special, kind of seeing it in action and seeing, how moving it was, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm almost at a loss for words. And I think that that's how people here felt as well. They yeah. just couldn't believe that this was really happening, that all these women were here in one place, and that it
was serious vibes.
Yeah,
it was
really serious vibes.
Like,
yeah, it was pretty overwhelming. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of power, a lot of wisdom mm-hmm. From those six women, and all of us too, of course,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I found it really interesting, you know, the second panel had Jindia, or I said it wrong, India, sorry, it starts with a J. India, Michelle Abate, man, Michelle's a popular yeah. name, and Vanessa Rock, and, you know, we're all pretty, got our heads down and rallied, so it was really cool to hear some experiences from the other motorsports, right? Mm-hmm. Top Dragster, the Trans Am Racing Series, which is a tarmac racing series here in the United States, and then Vanessa with her experience on the dirt bike and now as a driver for Defender doing some rally in that. It's really not that different, right? Mm-hmm. We're all just trying to do the best at what we can do, be the best drivers we can be as competitive as we can be and raise up women in the sport. So it was really cool to see that, you know, these women we kind of hold in such high esteem, like they're all just like the rest of us. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
it was empowering and neck breaking. There might have been some exorcist heads going on. But at the end of the day, we're all just kind of, you know, human beings that love what we do. So it was fun to see that they're approachable and down to earth and things like that too. So, yeah. Let's talk about driving a little bit. I mean, we're all drivers. They're fish. We're a driving school. This month we've had a couple of all women's programs, which are always really, really special to mm-hmm. us. And we finished one yesterday. We had 8 women here, for that program. And one of the comments that really stood out for me is one of the women had already been here before. She'd done a half day and it was just one of our standard programs. It wasn't women only. And she loved it so much. She came back, but she said this one was really special because she just felt really, empowered and she had some really great camaraderie with everyone. She said she left feeling like she made new friends in the sport. And that's part of the reason we like to do those. It was a really great space for her to just be herself and not feel any pressure. But Kelly, you were in that class. I'm going to call you out. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. How'd it go?
It was incredible. It was my first time taking an all-wheel drive program here. My previous experience was with rear-wheel drive, which was incredible. Very fun, very sideways. And so I was really curious to see how that was going to compare and how those two drivetrains would differ. I was lucky enough to get to work with Michelle. So Michelle was working with me and she was my voice of reason throughout the day in my ear. And it was really awesome. I may have hit some cones, but definitely a lot of fun was had. But getting to be in that classroom setting with an all women group was very special. All of our programs are great, obviously, but having that type of environment for just those women, we were able to really connect. When I first walked into the classroom, it was a little quiet, but by the end of the day, like Michelle was saying, and you know the other students were saying, it was like we were all friends. And you know, got to meet some really cool women. We had a woman in there who she is a stunt woman, and so she wanted to come out and get some skills that she could apply to her job. We had some car enthusiasts, car collectors, and just having all these different women who are car enthusiasts together, it's like, it's amazing. Yeah, so I had a blast.
Awesome. I think it's important to note that like the only thing different about our women's programs from our normal programs is that it's only female students or women mm-hmm. identifying students in the class. Like the actual curriculum and everything is still exactly the same as we would teach in any other day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Because we really don't change our curriculum. We have an awesome mm-hmm. curriculum. We can make anybody a good driver. That's our job, right? But having that kind of special space is really nice.
Yeah. Car doesn't care who you are.
It really doesn't. If you watch onboards and you're just looking, you know, from the behind the driver and co-driver, nobody knows who's in those seats, you know? Tasha, you've been doing a lot of driving around here too lately. How's that going? You're going to be on the books here teaching people soon.
Soon. Yeah. yeah, it's a lot of fun to both do kind of the curriculum sets, as well as for thrill rides, you get to show people how fun rally is outside of just like being bombarded with information of like, learn to do this, 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 and this. Like, oh, look how fun it is when you just get to float the car around a corner, like do donuts or whatever the situation is. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of technical driving, whether you're in all-wheel drive versus rear. Two completely different mindsets when you go into those cars, because one is very like throttle happy and the other is very like boat-like, but it has a lot of speed behind it. So just a lot of learning in a sport that I haven't really had a lot of experience in. So whole new things, from instructing all the way to rally driving, but I'm hooked.
Excellent. So we talked a bit about the summit and some standouts there, but one thing we didn't touch on too much that you might have seen in some of our recap videos was some things we did the day before. We had a really lovely dinner the night before the summit for some of the sponsors that helped us put together this event. And so they got a kind of a more intimate evening, if you will, with the panelists. It was a very small group. We had that at a lovely collection with some Group B cars that were present. Lovely catered dinner and some wine and beer from our sponsors. So tell me about that. What was it like to be in that environment with the panelists, with each other, kind of amping ourselves up for the next day? Xander, I'm going to have you share first.
I mean, this kind of applies to the kind of week as a whole, but in particular, that evening was very much a pinch me moment. Like, looking around at all the cars, these are cars that you're lucky if you get to see once in your life, and we're surrounded by them. And then being around these really incredible women, it was a little intimidating because, again, they are so cool. But as we mentioned, like, just realizing that they're normal people as well and having casual conversation, definitely pinch me moment.
Yeah, there's always that like brief moment where you kind of like are about ready to enter, or at least I had it, and I'm showing up, I'm like, man, what am I even doing here?
Yeah. I do not belong.
Who am I? I'm not worthy.
Yeah, but it's like that wasn't even the case. Like, everybody was just so welcoming, and the panelists were so interested to hear what we do day to day.
Like, very easy to talk to.
Well, because for them, like, our jobs are probably weird.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Totally.
Yeah, getting to cross that. Once you cross that threshold, it was like a whole different.
Yeah.
Whole different thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a great way to kick off the event, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts of the summit, which I'm bummed I didn't get to be more of a part of, but I did get to see some awesome recaps of, was between the panels, or after the panels and before the fireside chat. Kendra, Tosh, and I were driving people around sideways, getting them to hoop and holler in the race cars. But back up top here, we had some really cool workshops. Did Kelly or Xander, did you get to see any of those either? No?
We weren't able to break away at that time, so we can't really speak to specifically seeing those workshops. Yeah, unfortunately didn't, like Kelly said, we didn't really get to see them the day of. We stayed nice and busy inside with March, which was great. But I have seen some photos and it looked really nice.
Talking to Heather afterwards, she was like super amped about how many people came up and asked questions about how to get involved. Mm-hmm. Just in general, like volunteering at rallies or like being on a crew, helping some team with whatever happens during the rally. Yeah. Because we all know things happen. Heather was super excited. All the women that helped support in their suits and everything, ready to do mechanics workshops and everything.
So for those that weren't here, we set up a mock rally service. We used Josie Rimmer's Subaru BRZ that she competed in with me as her co-driver, actually, at Olympus and Oregon Trail last year. And Josie's our Women in Motorsports coordinator, who put all of this together. But we had five female mechanics who are actively crewing on cars all over the world. Actually, Heather works on teams internationally. and the rest of the women are here local to the United States. And they basically just walked through what it looks like to do a basic rally service. So they put the car up on pin stands. They took wheels and tires off. They did a nut and bolt. They mocked up everything it would look like for kind of your standard, I would say, non-catastrophic service. Yes. and we even had a little, we had like basically a shock hub set up so people could play around with taking wheels and tires off and kind of get up and close and personal to what a rally car looks like. I so wish I could have been there. I would have learned a lot. But it just made it seem so much more approachable. You know, you look at these teams, and especially if you watch a lot of WRC, it looks pretty intimidating. They've got these really fancy service things going on. You know, everyone's in their nice coveralls, and it's cleanish, and they've got all the great tools. But just having it so approachable, having someone you can talk to, ask questions of, show you can, right? Yeah. Lead by example. I know I got quite a few messages after that of people saying like, hey, how can I get on a team? How can I go crew? And it's great to see that one, there's women out there that want to do that. And that we provided them an arena to say like, yeah, you can. You just got to ask and put yourself out there. So
yeah,
I think at our next rally, which is Olympus, we're gonna see quite a few more women working on cars, which will be great. Because if that's what you want to do, you should be able to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it was important for all the little kids, too, to see that.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah. We also had Rhiannon Gelsomino and Krista Skoukas out there. And they were informing everyone about getting into co-driving. So I know that the three of us, Kendra, Tasha, and I wanted to talk a little bit about getting into driving and co-driving as well, but we were too busy doing it. So those two were fantastic. Rhiannon gave away a ton of gear from her and Travis and her sponsors, Kubota, and Krista was there with her company, Danaden, and also just sharing what it's like to co-drive, how to get into it, how to make that accessible. And I mean, I love it. It's a great way to get into the sport. So it was cool to see those two there sharing that with everybody as well. All right. Well, we're going to delve a little bit into the day-to-day life here at Dirtfish. And I want to chat with Kendra and Tasha about their stories, their journey into getting into motorsport and into getting into rally. Sometimes this just seems a little elusive. You look from the outside in, you think, there's no way I can do that. I know that was it for me. I watched rally back in the 2000s. I was like, wow, look at all those cool Europeans doing cool stuff that I can't do. Uh-huh. But here I am. So it's more approachable than we think. And I want us to share a story. So Kendra, I'm going to start with you. How did you get into motorsport? What kind of intrigued you about it? What led you to your first step? Kind of overcoming that, whatever that was, whatever that right? Was. And how you ended up here at Dirtfish.
Yeah. So I guess if I go way back, I always kind of had an interest in cars. For me, they always kind of represented a sense of freedom, right? The ability to travel, go out, do things, go places, be independent. I never really thought race cars were a thing for women unless you were like Danica Patrick, or I was like, how to, you know, maybe I could be the marketing coordinator for, you know, a race car team or whatever. Like that was kind of the avenue I saw of being involved as a woman. And then I was working at an advertising agency, heavily involved in aftermarket parts. And I had to cover a rally, which I had never even heard of the sport before. And I think Tanner Faust had crossed the finish line. I'm like, cool, another dude across the finish line. And Chrissy Beavis popped out of the passenger seat. And I went, what is that job? What is she doing? How can I do that? I don't have to have $1 million and own a race car, but I think I can do whatever that is. Long time coming, fast forward so several years, and sort of my first foray into a motorsport was the Rebel Rally. I got a press release and I thought, I can buy a helmet, I don't get car sick, and I can read a map. I can do this.
Tell us a little bit more about what the Rebel Rally is.
Sure.
We have an international audience. Yeah. So I know there's similar rallies on the other side of the world.
Yeah. Well,
Rebel is an international competition.
Technically,
people
yeah.
from multiple countries.
Yeah. People come in from all over the world to do it. But basically, it's my elevator pitch is it's an all-women's off-road navigation rally. So it's not for speed. It's you're running in stock vehicles for the most part or lightly modified. And we're using map and compass, no GPS, no cell phones, no none of that. It's very analog, and you're out in the desert for 7 to 8 days camping. You start kind of up near the Tahoe region of Nevada and California, and you work your way down, all the way down to the sand dunes in Glamis, which is down near the Mexican border and crosses Arizona and California. So it's a big thing. Like, I dove into a big, really hard thing, and just that first year leading up to it, and we didn't know what it was, and people just asked me constantly, like, do you think you're in over your head? Like, are you sure this is something you want to do, or you can do? And I was just so excited to be in that car. I did not care. I didn't care. I was like, I don't know, like, if I fall on my face, I guess I'm just something that showed up later. One of my favorite quotes, I guess I'm just brave enough to suck. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do the darn thing and see how
it's a great quote.
Yeah. It literally, I'm like, lesson for life, like, brave enough to suck. Yeah. And then by whatever grace of God, I actually turned out to be kind of okay.
Make or break rally. Yeah, don't sell yourself short. I'm sure you put in a ton of work.
I did put in a ton of work
and dedication. Yeah. And
no, definitely.
And hold your craft.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've gotten better over the years, and the rally's gotten harder, and that led to me competing with a driver, Eliza Coleman, who told me about the Gelseminos and their Oz Rally Pro School. And so I think after that first year with her, that's what I did. I signed up, and I was like, that's what's going to put me in that Chrissy Beavis seat. That's what's going to get me in that rally car. Came here, took the class, and then a couple weeks after taking the co-driver class, which I loved it, I was already Googling fire suits before I had even left. And I got an email from Tennis, who was our lead head instructor at the time. Now he's moved up the chain a little bit. And I got an email that was like, hey, have you ever thought about instructing? And I was like, yeah, I can teach people how to use a map and compass, like, whatever. And he was like, no, we don't do that. He's like, we want you to drive. And I'm like, you don't even know if I drove myself to Dirtfish that day. Like, you're out of your mind. you know, but then he explained, like, sometimes the challenge with hiring race car drivers to teach people is they don't have the constitution to sit in the passenger seat with people. And so he was like, you've got the constitution to sit in that passenger seat. Like, do you think you can teach stuff? I'm like, I've taught stuff. And so then it was like, come try out. And I kind of said, well, I guess I'm brave enough to suck again. Because if I suck, like, someone calls you up like that, you got to just try it.
Yeah.
You got to just go for it. And if it doesn't work out, at least you tried. But
yeah. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Exactly. Right? If yeah. I didn't show up, like, I think I'd just be sitting there kicking myself. So
you bring up a good point, though. Not everyone who's great at their skill, be it driving this instance, is great at teaching it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Some people just are really naturally talented at things and they don't know why. and so if you don't know why you're good at something, it's really hard to teach that to someone who isn't, right?
Yeah.
And so there's definitely a special skill it takes to coach people, which is obviously we need to be good drivers as well, which we all are, but we also need to understand how people learn, especially how adults learn, and how to make a subject like driving a rally car approachable and attainable.
Yep. And accessible, yeah. Keep them, like, not overwhelmed and sort of in that learning mindset.
Yeah.
For sure.
Awesome. And you're rallying now.
I'm rallying now.
Yeah.
Signed up, just did Wild West a couple weeks ago. Signed up for Olympus again. I'm competing with another instructor here, Sean Edwards,
awesome.
In a good old 1983 Volvo 242 named Black Karen, who has a storied Dirtfish history.
Yeah, that car's been around the people who've worked there. Yeah. I've even driven it. So, yeah. Awesome. What's your future look for you? What are your goals here at Dirtfish and for your motorsports career, if you will?
Oh, I mean, obviously, I just want to keep getting better. I love coming into work here. We have the best staff. It's never a bad day. And then I think as far as motorsports, like, my goals are pretty attainable. I just want to keep improving. I want to eventually race all the stages across North America. So that's kind of the short-term goals, and we'll just kind of move that bar as it needs to be moved.
Excellent. Tasha, tell us about your journey into motorsport and how you came to be here at Dirtfish.
Yeah. So my story starts with working on cars. My dad used to babysit me from the time I could hold a screwdriver. We were in the garage. So I've been working on cars and restoring old 60s, 70s muscle cars since I was probably 5 or 6. I drive a 22-year-old Honda S2000, which requires a lot of maintenance as I daily drive it. So yeah, definitely the gearhead mechanic side was what I started out with. I went to Virginia Tech for mechanical engineering. And so I wanted to go work for an OEM doing automotive engineering, working on new prototype cars and finding like very shiny things. Because I was over the rust buckets that I was used to working on. So why not go for new products? So I started out working for Honda. They actually have a great program doing associate-led race teams. So you volunteer your time, you basically do a whole entire project management side as well as leadership on your own. So me and my teammate at the time, Liz, we started a Rebel Rally race team. I say race in quotes because it's not a race. Correct. But in the eyes
it's a competition.
Yes. It is a competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So we started this team. We had 2 months to prepare to propose budget, prepare a car, and ship it out for Rebel Rally of 2019. So that's where I met Kendra. She got to see all of the rookie mistakes and the rookie nerves of
competing.
me and my teammate, we split the responsibilities between driving and navigating. So every day we would swap, mainly because our skill sets for off-road driving versus navigating with analog tools, paper, map, and compass were about equal. So we wanted to give ourselves kind of a mental break of not just learning Rebel and figuring it out and what the game is along the way, but also having to navigate, like at the time it was like 16 to 24 checkpoints every day, mm-hmm. that you were up at 5 a.m. doing all the way until like 8 p.m. at night, whenever you get dinner and then basically instantly go to bed. So we ended up podiuming that year in our 2019 passport. We finished as rookies of the year in the crossover class, mm-hmm. which at the time was the first time that crossovers ever got rookies of the year. Mm-hmm. Because it's 4x4 and crossover, and usually 4x4 had more points. Mm-hmm. So usually they got rookies. And so after that, we were hooked. We came up with a 5-year plan for competing in Rebel for Honda, and got approved for all kinds of stuff. So I did it for another year. And then my boyfriend took a job with Boeing. So we moved out to Washington from Ohio. And I could no longer compete with Honda. So then I found out how much budgeting a private party has to do for motorsports, which Rebel is not cheap. Registration alone is like 15 grand. And so basically I was fully committed to keep doing it as a private party. And then on top of that, Kendra said, hey, you live in Washington now. I think it was like the day after I moved to Washington, I get a text from Kendra saying, hey, we should grab dinner. And then she's talking about Dirtfish and how I should like come out and do Dirtfish things. And I was like, I just took a job with a startup company. I don't think I have time for that yet. So fast forward a couple of years and I was laid off from my job. They wanted me to relocate to LA. That was not happening. So I told Kendra, hey, I have all this free time now. Like, I might as well come out and try it. And so I reached out to the team here at Dirtfish, Nate Tennis and Nicole Miller, for going through the process of even potentially starting it. And then, yeah, was thrown into a car and basically said, let's see what you can do. Yeah. So I must have been coachable at some point. So I'm here now, still doing training, and hopefully we'll start instructing soon.
Excellent. And how were your thrill rides? So how was that, driving people around here?
Not gonna lie, the first one was not so great.
we improved throughout the day. It was like an aha moment when like I had never done the donuts on mixed surface, like in gravel, like in one of our cars, let alone like a tight donut around a cone. Like I thought it was gonna be a big open area with no cone that I had to like go around. And then I see a cone there, I'm like, oh, no. And so we're like, I think it was my third or fourth pass through where I like finally got the hang of flipping the car out in order to bring it around and not having to use the handbrake to then pivot around the cone very tightly. And the first time that I did it, I think I like exclaimed very loudly in the car, like, oh my God, it makes sense. I'm sure whoever was in the car with me at that point was thrilled.
You just added to the thrill.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, oh dear. Yeah.
What did I get into? But yeah, no, they were a lot of fun. And just being able to kind of progress through from like starting the thrill rides through to like the end. I think Nicole Miller, we had an open seat at the very end because I think you gave the last thrill ride. And so Kendra and I were like, well, we might as well go out too. Like, I think Sean hopped in the car with you, and then Nicole Miller, our HR person, hopped in the car with me. And I told her, I was like, well, it's been hit or miss for donuts, but we'll try. And we go out, and she was like, you were talking the entire time, all the way through the laps. Like, you did a perfect donut, like, nose on cone. And so we get back up to the top and I look at the camera and of course the camera's like dead by this point. So I'm like, of course. It's like the most perfect lap ever and it's not going to be noted.
But my donuts were a little hit or miss. Too, yeah. And if nothing makes me feel more queasy in a car than a donut. So that probably doesn't much. Yeah. What was it like? So Kendra, you had Sean in the passenger seat. And so Sean is usually the driver and Kendra co-drives for him. So did Sean try to call pace notes for you?
I don't think, absolutely not. He did not. He had no idea where we were going.
Perfect. Just like a co-driver.
It was great. Yeah. Like, he was like, he was super excited because he was like, if I don't get to drive it, I should at least get to ride along. I'm like, yeah, let's go.
That's awesome.
And I think I don't know that Sean had ridden with me here in the car, like, since we had done training. So it had been like almost 3 years since he'd ridden passenger. but we got done and during the whole lap, there were just these moments where he was like, oh my God, what the hell? I can't believe, oh my God, this is unreal. And we like get to the end and he's like, you just drove your face off. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's still here.
That sounds like Sean.
So he was super pumped and he was just like, that course was incredible. And he's like, he was so excited that we all got to actually drive that course. And super jealous. And he was so proud.
Kelly, how'd you come to Dirtfish? Tell us your story.
Oh, well, my story, so my husband took a job with K2, K2 Skis and Snowboards, and that brought us from Southern California up to Washington. And we were in Seattle. We quickly fell in love with North Bend. Fast forward a few years, we found a home in North Bend. And that was right around the time that my husband got his work from home COVID orders. So kind of worked out. We moved in, did a bit of nesting, you know. And then I thought, you know, I think I want to look around for something to do out here. I want to see what job opportunities there are. And lo and behold, there was a rally school. I thought, what the hell? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I was so excited to brag to my brothers, you know, like, hey, look at me. I'm the one that actually gets to be around these cars. But anyways, so applied for the job, got the job, and it's been here ever since, and it's just incredible. Definitely lucky. Feel a little special that, you know, I get to work at a rally school. My husband works at K2. It's like, not too bad, you know? We're doing pretty good in Washington, so. Yeah.
It's kind of the outdoor adventurer's dream.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's beautiful here. It's beautiful at Dirtfish.
Come check us out.
And some of you might recognize Kelly's voice and Xander's because they're often answering the phone when you call them in. So,
yes.
And I think they may have done some voiceovers on some of the reels that went around as well. Mm-hmm. Xander, I know you've had some cool cars in your history. Tell us about that and how you came to be here too.
Yeah. So I am actually originally from California. My fiance moved up to Washington for work and ironically also works at Dirtfish. He works down at the shop as one of our techs. And when I came out here, I was actually working in the dental field and it just was not fulfilling to me. Love my patients, but hated the industry. So I was looking for something new and I've always had an interest in cars. As Michelle kind of mentioned, my first car was a 1991 Nissan 240SX. Love me some JDM. and so when I came out to Washington, wanted to find something new, and the shop was actually going to be hiring for like a shop assistant, basically. And I thought that sounded right up my alley. And so I submitted my application for that. And unfortunately, that job actually never came to be. We ended up not needing one. But Sammy, who was our HR rep at the time, she had reached out to me and said, hey, I know you're kind of trying to get away from the office end of things, but we have an opening at the front desk and we would love to have you. And I almost turned down the offer because I didn't want to do customer service anymore. Thank God I didn't, because I'm so happy here. But yeah, it's basically a whole family affair here. I have my little doggy that comes into work as well. But yeah, I mean, just like Kelly, Washington's really treated us well.
Yeah. And you've done some driving here too. Tell us about your practice day car and your experience being a student here.
Yeah. So prior to working at Dirtfish, I hadn't really done much technical driving at all. I was always just the passenger princess. So coming here, we get like a half day program as an employee. So I took that and was immediately hooked. And then I went on to take a full day program, which was also one of our women's programs. So I can attest to how incredible those are. And then still was just as hooked. I wanted to continue driving. And so I turned my old daily, which is just a little Impreza wagon, turned that into my beater practice day car. So now I get the opportunity to get a lot more seat time and just really get an enjoyment for rally while learning new skills.
Yeah. I'm really lucky. I get to work with all of these talented women in everything they do, but also as drivers. Kelly was phenomenal yesterday in the car. I sat with Xander before as well. She's excellent, as is Josie Rimmer. She's a fantastic driver. And of course, Kendra and Tasha are as well, because, you know, good teachers and good drivers go hand in hand. So, yeah. Thanks for sharing that with us, everybody. That
was Absolutely not.
So I've been here a while. I've worked at Dirtfish over 10 years now. So I always joke, like, I think I like it. Generally, if you don't like something, stop doing it. That's my quote of the day. How about that? But yeah, you know, like everyone here, I grew up in a really small town and driving was freedom for us. So I actually learned to drive when I was 12 years old on a 1967 Volkswagen Bug, which second gear didn't work in. And it was just kind of a thing you did out there, right? There was no public transportation. You were far away from everything. Cell phones didn't exist yet. I'm old. You know, and your family liked having someone else who could drive in case of an emergency situation or something like that. Yeah, so I, my first car that I bought myself was a 1982 Mazda RX-7, rotary powered, very cool car. And I got pretty active in the Mazda RX-7 club when I moved up to the Puget Sound area. And a friend of mine invited, my husband and I out to an autocross. So we were like, okay, I guess we'll give that a go. You know, as fun as it is, parking cars and eating donuts, like maybe we should go do something with it too. So we went and I immediately got hooked. I was absolutely terrified. I'll be honest. I had no idea how to drive a car properly. I'd only learned in driver's ed and what my parents taught me. I did grow up on gravel roads, so I did have that going for me, I guess. But I had no idea what I was doing. Full on redneck skills. I was really nervous about being the only woman there. I didn't want to let down our gender by not being good at it. Mm-hmm. And I was at, I know,
real things though, right? That's a heavy one, yeah. Right? I did not want to let down my spouse by being slow, right? I didn't want to embarrass him. But I did it, you know, like you, like you had to be brave enough to suck, right? And I had so much fun. I didn't get out of first gear all morning because I was so scared. But in the afternoon, I kind of, you know, I had some lunch. I rode with another woman who was teaching there and saw her drive. And it kind of was like, okay, I can do this. I can get into second. And I did. And it was super fun. By the end of the year, I was so hooked. I was on the board of the sports car club. And then next year, I was helping them run their novice programs. I should have known then that this was like my first avenue into becoming a co-driver. Because what I really wanted to do with the novice programs was organize it and make it more efficient. Mm-hmm. So I started using Hagerty Motorsports Reg. They were actually a sponsor of the summit right when they kind of first came out, and set up all the whole system. And then I just kept racing as well. It was really, really fun. A friend of mine invited me to go to the SCCA National Championship to drive her Nissan GTR. And I was basically what you call a class filler. So we could get enough people in our class so that the winner could win tires from Hoosier. So I went, I came in last, but I had so much fun. And that car was insane. I think I like might have closed my eyes at one point because we were going so fast and I didn't know what to do. But so much fun. Lori, thank you very much if you're listening. And that kind of started my journey into wanting to do this a little bit more seriously. So fast forward, went to a few more of those events, won a couple in a Evo 9 and a Mini Cooper. And then a guy I raced against worked here. And he said, Michelle, I see you teaching all the time and you drive pretty well. And him and I were always trading times because we were racing against each other in the same class. He's like, I think you should come out and interview. And I was like, okay, sure. I mean, I'll come to a 3-day at Dirtfish, you know, that sounds great. And I did. And I'll admit, I tried to show everyone how good I was. And I did, just because you're good on pavement doesn't mean you're good on the gravel. And I did okay. But obviously I had the right personality. So, they hired me. Most of my rally technique is taught here at the school, and it's paid off really, really well. And, I just love it. I love sharing what I love with people every single day. I love being a piece of that aha moment when a driver gets something or they do something that's really, really terrifying for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's the most amazing experience to see someone's confidence just skyrocket. Mm-hmm. And it goes beyond even in the car. I've had people message me after and be like, hey, I went and asked for a race today because I feel so much more confident that I'm good at my job and I deserve it. Mm-hmm. And so it just has this lasting effect that's like so amazing and so powerful. That's how I got here. That's how I'm still doing it. As far as the co-driving goes, that started with Sam Albert. Some of you might know him from his Ferrari-powered Subaru that's all over the media. Really cool car. He asked me to co-drive an event with him, Mount Hood Rally. This was before the Ferrari engine was in there. Sorry, guys. We had an EJ and with all the things that go along with that. But yeah, we did an event together. We had a great time. We finished really well, and him and I started doing more events together. We raced a Dirtfish car in 2018 in the national championship together, and took third in the championship and second in our class. So that was quite an achievement for us and for the school. We had all of the mechanics here working on it, our media team following us, and it was the first time we'd kind of went into the whole U.S. championship and, you know, showcased what we do every day. And it was really good to have the school involved in the sport and for both of us as well. And I've driven a couple times, but I'm good at co-driving. I like co-driving. Mm-hmm. People like me to tell them where to go, I guess, because they keep calling me up and asking me to get in the car with them. So, yeah, this year I'm signed on with actually one of our Dirtfish alumni named Richo, and we'll be racing a Lexus IS250 in the national championship, going for a podium in the limited two-wheel drive class. So we'll be racing against some of Tasha's old coworkers, actually.
Person gave us a tie.
I will. that's my story in a nutshell. I really love teaching it. It really feeds my soul in a great way. So I'm going to do this as long as I can, as long as I'm relevant and as long as my body holds up. So, yeah. Yeah. Wow, that was a lot. Let's talk about someone who's not here.
So they can't defend themselves.
Let's talk about Josie Rimmer.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So Josie is the coordinator of
Dirtfish Women in Motorsport, both the summit and everything that goes on here. She's also our director of strategy at Dirtfish. But I just want to give a huge shout out to Josie. She has put her heart and soul into the effort to put this event together, to help us share our stories, to help provide a space for us to do that. And probably the most important part for me, you know, I've already aged myself, is seeing that next generation coming in and get and making this just a space they can be, and then not even having it be a question. I want no one to have to go to their first race and be terrified of letting down their gender, right? That we shouldn't have to do that anymore. No. And I feel like we're starting to pave the pathway to do that, and her leadership on that effort is a big piece of that. But since she's not here, let's say maybe a little favorite moment we've had with Josie. Yeah, I know. That's a tough one, huh?
Yeah. I'll just go first.
Go for it, Kelly.
So I feel like Xander may have kind of already talked about this when we were talking about the night before the summit, but we were standing there. We were watching the panelists all around the Quattro, and it was just that moment where Josie and I looked at each other and were like, this is incredible. Like, dude. Like, look what we're actually experiencing in this moment, you know? And so we just kind of both looked at each other like, this is real life. Like, this is real life, guys. But yeah, for me, that one was great. And it was, you know, very recent. So
I think for me, the first thing that comes to mind isn't necessarily like a specific memory or instance, but rather her ability to stay so calm and collected while still having personality in the most like tense, stressful situations. She just always manages to put a smile on everybody else's faces, even in the midst of chaos or what might feel like chaos. Like in some of our recap videos of the behind the scenes, you'll hear her little whoos. She does this all the time, and it's so cute. But yeah, I think just her ability to keep the team together and happy, and having fun, I think, is something I'm very proud of.
Yeah, she really looks out for us all. She's always looking, and that's not like just us as the women, but like everybody on the team, making sure that the things that we're doing at Dirtfish are on. I don't want to say on brand, but are sort of in alignment with like the soul of this whole place.
Yeah.
Making sure that we're always kind of making the appropriate steps forward, and really like taking care of each other and including everyone.
Yeah, it really does feel like a family.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like the family you choose.
Yeah, to go along with that, I think the first time that I ever really spoke to Josie was at an event where on Saturdays during the summer, it's called Exotics at Redmond Town Center. Her and Steve had a couple of the cars, the Cortina and I think an Escort, lined up at the car show. And I was walking with my boyfriend, Kevin, and all of a sudden I hear like my name being yelled across the street. And I was like, who do I know here? And I turn around and it's Josie, and she's like waving. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, I've talked to her maybe once. I was like, I can't believe she remembers who I am. But she's just very personable, like remembers everything. Her memory is incredible. Like I'm 28 years old and I can't tell you what I said last week, let alone like 5 minutes ago. But yeah, her and I mean, Steve Rimmer and what they've done for Dirtfish is incredible. The platform that Josie's created and kind of, I guess, spearheaded for a lot of the women in motorsport has been very, very impactful for not just like the small community of Snoqualmie, but I mean, globally. We had people in so many different countries like
tuned into
the live stream. Yeah. I think at one point we had like 2,000 people who had watched the live stream, and at certain points it was like 100 people at a time. Like, continuously watching the panel. But it's just crazy to see like people from Jamaica or I think Uganda or a bunch of different countries. And it just shows like how big their whole reaches. I guess energy and reach yeah. has gotten. So
yeah,
that's fantastic. Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't realize we had that many people mm-hmm. tuning in from all over the world. Yeah, that reach and that support of the effort that everyone's putting into this cool. is really meaningful.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's turned into, it was just this, the first year it was this afternoon event on a weekday and we still Thursday. Had, on a Thursday, yeah. and we still had like a couple hundred people show up and bring their kids out and their families. And it was only supposed to be one or two women's classes because we don't know if women are interested, right? And the first class sold out in an hour and a half or something. It sold out really quick.
I was shocked.
And it turned into a whole month of programs. And then it basically turned into a permanent year-round thing where there are women's classes offered throughout the year. But I've had women in the, you know, co-ed classes, if you will, as we'll call them now. mention that even though they weren't in one of the women only classes, they came because they felt like they knew it would be a good learning space for them because we were so like on top of having this like women's space. So which I thought really said a lot about what the program's done and sort of what it said about our school, our community, including the men.
Yeah, it's really created a culture of inclusiveness, mm-hmm. right? So whether or not you want to come take one of the women's programs, great, do it. Yeah. Or you just want to come take one of our standards programs, like get behind a wheel of a car.
Yeah.
Come do it. Like it's one of the best things you'll do in your life.
Totally. Yeah. You'll never forget it.
And you can find our calendar online at dirtfish.com. I have one thing I want to say about Josie. I've had the privilege to sit with her in a race car at a race. And for those that understand rally, you know, there's a really special relationship in a car between a driver and co-driver. And you see each other at your very best. You see each other sometimes not at your very best, in emotional states, in tired states. And I had so much respect and admiration for Josie after the two race weekends we did together, because things didn't always go awesome, right? Our car broke. We lost our defrost for our very first rally. She was driving a night stage, not able to see out of the front window in pouring rain. And she did it. And like, that is hard. Because honestly, I was like, I don't know if she's ever going to want to rally again. Because that was not very fun. And I don't know if I would have kept going. I would keep going because I'm dumb. But she did. And she came out the next rally better and stronger. And it really speaks to everything she's doing at the school. How she's growing, how she pushes, how she keeps learning, how she's putting herself in situations that are uncomfortable and pushing through them and making things better. That really showed with her as a driver as well. And you can see that spirit in everything she does. So it was really a privilege to get to be a part of her growth in a race car and just understand that that's just who she is as a person. So that was fantastic. Well, we talked about a lot of stuff. Any last thoughts? So we have another summit coming up in March of 2025. I know, right? It's not that far away. 11 months. Okay. 11 months. Not that far away. After this event this year, I mean, it was the biggest and best it's been yet. It's grown so much. I don't want to give anything away because we don't have total plans in yet, but if you could tell me maybe something that you would love to see next year that we're already doing or that we could bring into the future, what are your hopes and dreams for women in motorsport, or even not at the summit, just for women in motorsport? Mm-hmm. Tasha, you're up first.
Let's see. I think this was the first year that we had done the driver, co-driver, and mechanic side of workshops. Doing that again, like Kendra had said, like you have little kids who are like there with their parents, who their parents have the passion. Like, obviously, every kid has their own little idea of what they want to do, but usually a race car driver is on most kids' lists, whether or not they know what that is versus like, oh, a mechanic or like getting to play with the cars and getting to actually see what would happen during like a stage rally for the adults of us that have paychecks that allow for motorsports or the reach to get sponsors. It I think is something that was very, very great to see on the platform for what was this year. We should keep doing it.
Awesome. Kelly.
Yeah, I actually would say the workshops as well. Even though I didn't get to go to them, just kind of seeing how excited people were after those workshops, where it's like they were able to see something that, you know, in person and see that it really is achievable, you know, because you hear like, oh, okay, you can be a co-driver or you can be a driver, you can be a mechanic as a woman, but getting to see other women in person doing it in the moment, even though it wasn't at an actual rally, but it was that stage setup, getting to talk to those women who are drivers, co-drivers, I think showed the people or the women at the summit that, you know, this is a real thing. It is achievable. And it may have even changed people's minds on what they're currently doing. Maybe they weren't even thinking about this, but seeing it in person, I think that it was really moving for people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to piggyback on that because I think it's also important the fact that they weren't like, they are amazing women, but also they weren't the like famous WRC, like super, like,
yeah,
it's like, no, these are very, you know, normal people.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're, you know, you can actually do this, right? Like that whole representation matters. Like there's going to be someone who walks by who never thought that was a job.
Yep.
Or never thought that was something that they could have or do, who's going to have a little light bulb and go, oh, or they're going to run into someone and they're going to tell them, no, there's room for you. There's space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, I think this is just a general consensus because I'm same page as you guys. I think having more of the workshops would be amazing moving forward. Having that safe and supportive space to learn those things and to have the hands-on. You know, a lot of people haven't had the opportunity to grow up working on cars with their parents and stuff. So having, like I said, that safe, supportive space to get your hands dirty and to see that it's possible. It's so valuable. And on top of that, Josie and myself, and I know Michelle, you've done this multiple times in the past, Girl Scout little workshops is something that we've done. And, you know, just real basic things like teaching them how to change a tire, check your oil, jump your battery. That can be extremely intimidating when you've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of just continuing to cultivate those opportunities and bring more people into the industry or at least spark that interest is something I would really like to see moving forward.
And it doesn't matter what age you are.
Yes.
Start at any time.
Absolutely. I love this. This is so great. Yeah. I know those were a big hit. I loved them. I'm also really excited about expanding the summit beyond rally, which we already started to do a little bit this year with having drivers from the other disciplines here. But I think it goes to show that there's a bigger piece of the picture here that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see who we can get to come share their experiences with us and their growth. Because I don't know about you guys, but like, you know, Vanessa, Michelle, and India, you know, they're all kind of in that beginning phase of their careers. And it's really nice to see that people just like us who put in the work and the time and the dedication, you can do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like, that's the most empowering message is the only thing holding yourself back is you. Sometimes your fear. You got to ask. People will say no, but someone's probably going to say yes. So, you know, put in the work, do the time. Do the thing you want to do and just be there because there's a space.
Yeah.
Any parting words, anyone?
Go rally.
Be brave enough to suck.
Go get a fish.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all very much for being here. This is probably the last Women's Month podcast, but that does not mean you will no longer hear women because guess what? We're around all year long, okay? But it's been wonderful. Being part of the celebration of women for the entire month of March. I'm looking forward to seeing how everyone in the sport grows. And if you want to come to Dirtfish and meet these lovely human beings that are in the room with us today, please do so. We're here year round. You can take whatever class you want, half day up to a 3-day, rear wheel drive, all wheel drive. You'll make new friends, you'll have a good time, you'll learn new things, and you'll probably come away a little bit addicted to the sport. So thank you all for joining us today.